Hello, this is Mark Jenkins. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this message with you. I've entitled God-Centered or Self-Centered. During Jesus' ministry on the earth, there was one group of people that he made some of his sharpest corrective statements to than any other group. Those people were the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day. His statements of correction were always out of a heart of love for them, but made with the intent of showing them what was really in their hearts. They were self-centered and not God-centered. Hypocrites. We don't want to be this way. It's important that we see that this is the path that the devil loves to take Christians down, and we must be on guard to this deception so we don't end up like the Pharisees with our eyes on ourselves. I hope that you enjoy this message.
I'd like to begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful and we're so grateful for our salvation, for the new birth that you have made available to us in Jesus. We thank you that we are truly different people. Thank you, Father, for the reality of this settling into our hearts and to our minds. Father, this evening as we study your word, we believe that the ministry of the Holy Ghost is present to teach us, to reveal truth to us, and we thank you for it. Jesus, we thank you for your life, for your sacrifice on our behalf. Thank you, Jesus. We come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. We arrest you now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you for a good word this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Well, as I was preparing for the message this evening, my attention was being drawn to a topic that I think is going to be one that might hit close to home for a few people as they listen to this, whenever you will listen to it. It's one of those messages that I think is always timely. And it's regarding the attitude of the Pharisees. And you say, well, Mark, that didn't sound too uplifting. Well, I have found recently, as I personally have listened to ministers, one or two in particular, they have been really shining a light in my own heart, showing me some areas that I need some improvement on. And it has to do with the idea of the personal relationship and fellowship with the Lord Jesus, the personal walk that we're to have, and how what Jesus came to show us was how we are to walk with the Lord, walk with the Father, walk with God every minute of every day. And how does this fit in with the Pharisees? I believe that what Jesus was doing all those 3.5 years, he was showing us a contrast. He was showing us someone who lived a daily, moment by moment, ongoing relationship with the Father. And this was in contrast to the Pharisees. Pharisees were all about earning their righteousness, earning their place with God, trying through their good actions to impress the people around them, trying to gain a position in the eyes of the people through what they did and how long they prayed, how much they could quote the Bible. You know, of all things, you would think that would be something that someone wouldn't take the wrong direction. But the Pharisees would take anything the wrong direction. Why? Because the motivation of their hearts, that motivation was wrong. They were wanting to self-promote. And Folks, you see that today in the body of Christ. You see it when you look at these ministries that are, they're all about their ministry. They're all about their kingdom, if you want to look at it that way, about building their monstrosity of a kingdom called a ministry, and doing it to the detriment of sometimes the body of Christ. You say, well, how can that be? Well, it's because the motivations of the hearts of the people, it's not right in a lot of cases. It's all about me and my ministry, and instead of loving people. Boy, I tell you what, that's something that has really hit close to home with me here lately, as I've listened to people who ministers who you can tell that's how they live their life. That it's not about their ministry. It's not about how many people know their name, how many people know who they are, how big is their mailing list, blah, blah, blah. None of that. These people are just simply about loving other people, loving them into the kingdom, being an example of Jesus, not an example of the Pharisees. See, the Pharisees, they were all about trying to impress. And boy, I tell you what, as I have listened to people who you can tell that the true motives of their heart is right. When I listen to it, I'm telling you what, it's even brought me in under conviction. I began to see where there's still some areas where, you know, I'm too concerned about myself. And it's difficult to admit that, but it's still the truth. Where I consider myself before I consider other people. And you know, well, give me an example, Mark. Well, you're out in public, and see, we're listening to people that we're listening to ministers who aren't afraid to go lay hands on the sick and see them recover, who want to reach out and share the love of Jesus with everybody they come in contact with. And so I find myself at times in situations where, you know, maybe I have a stirring inside, and I will go ahead and pray for someone. Ask them, can I pray for you? And I've been doing that, you know, more and more as time has gone by here recently. But there's still that little anxiety, a little bit of a hindrance, a little bit of holding back and not going forward, not reaching out to people. And what is that hindrance? Well, it's because I'm looking at myself, not those people. Because if it was simply just about people, about loving them, there would be no hindrance. The only hindrance, the only reason there's a hindrance, unless, of course, that the Lord, for whatever reason, may hold you back from, give you a witness inside not to make that step forward to minister to somebody. Unless you have that, you know, the light's green to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. So if you see somebody and you're, you know, maybe the first instinct that you have is, you know, let's pray for them. And then the next thing you hear is either the voice of the devil or the voice of your own heart saying, slow down now. You know, well, why? It's because the motive of your heart is about you. Your motives aren't right. Your motives aren't to reach out and to love and to be Christ's body in the earth. You know, to be a member of his body extended. That's what this is all supposed to be about. Each one of us fulfilling a place in the body of Christ. Not about having your name in lights and having a big ministry that's on TV that everybody can see, you know, that's not the right motive. That's you wanting something for your flesh. You're wanting your flesh. Your flesh is wanting to be to receive the acclaim, to receive the notoriety. That's not Jesus. Jesus wants us to take the lower seat, not to self-promote and take the higher seat. And, you know, I've thought at different times, boy, I tell you, how can I reach more people? You know, how can I see this ministry grow that God has given to me? Well, the answer isn't to focus on making the ministry grow. That's where people get off track, and that's where they start doing things and trying to create and just for the sake of having a bigger ministry. That's not the point. The point is, how can I love more people? See, it's a whole different way of looking, whole different way of living. How can I love more people? How can I share the love of Jesus with more people? See, Pharisees, someone with a Pharisee attitude does not think that way. They do not think, how can I love more people, Lord? How can I share your love? What does a Pharisee think? A Pharisee's attitude, you know, that the mindset of the Pharisee is, how can I get more attention? How can I get more people looking at me? How can I get more notoriety? That's the mindset of the Pharisee. And then what they do is they would tell people to do things and lay this heavy burden upon them that they themselves couldn't bear, and they weren't even trying to bear. They were hypocrites telling people, do this, don't do that. And all the while, they're doing whatever they want to do. They think that they're exempt. You know, nobody's exempt. Nobody's exempt. We're all in this together. There's no people that are higher up than others, no matter what they may tell you. We are all on the same level. We're all on the same plane. And it's our responsibility to love each other, to share the love of Jesus with other people. That's what God expects of us. And when we don't do that, and we look for other avenues to try and make ourselves look more spiritual, we are doing what the Pharisees would do. See, it's like trying to take this shortcut. How can I do anything to advance in the kingdom except love one another? I'll do anything else, God. Anything else you want me to, you God, do you want me to pray in public, in the public square, and pray big long prayers? I'd be more than happy to do that. Why? Because that would bring attention to me. But God, you want me to love somebody? Are you kidding me? Do you know how mean these people are? See, that's where you really see the true heart motivations. When it comes down to, are you willing to love somebody else when there's no benefit in it for you? You don't, there's no payback for you. There's no attaboys for you. There's nobody going to pat you on the back. But you know that loving that person is what God expects of you. Are you going to do that when nobody else is looking? Nobody else cares? See, that's where you find out what's truly in your heart. And that is what our Heavenly Father is really all about. He's not about us putting on these great airs, acting like these super spiritual people, when what is truly in our heart is an attitude like a Pharisee, because it's hypocrisy. You can put on these great airs, but if at the end of the day you hurt your brother or your sister in the Lord, I got news for you. That's not pleasing to your Father. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you think about yourself. If you're hurting people, if you're not blessing, but you're hurting and you're loading up heavy burdens on people, if you're fussing at them because your doctrines don't line up, oh my gosh, it's not right. It hurts people. Jesus didn't do that. The only people that he picked out and he specifically addressed were the Pharisees. And he specifically addressed them in a way that was very corrective, but he didn't do it out of hatred or out of any wrong motive. He did it out of love. He was trying to get their attention, to show them what they were doing was not right. And in some cases, there were Pharisees that did come to him. They did it at night. They wouldn't come to him during the daytime. But he was getting through to some of them. So what I want to do tonight, we're going to look at the 23rd chapter of Matthew. We're not going to look at all of it tonight. We're going to look at part of it, and maybe a little bit in Luke chapter 11, and maybe just one verse in John chapter 8. We're going to just look at what Jesus said about these Pharisees. Because you got to remember, these people, back in that time period, these were the spiritual leaders of the day. You know, Jesus even told them, we see it recorded in Matthew 23, he even told the people that these Pharisees, they sit in Moses' seat. He said, listen to what they tell you to do, but do not follow their actions. I look at that and I think, how is that, God? Because they're the ones that were telling them to follow the, you know, if they were sitting in Moses' seat, to follow these certain things that were laid out in the law, that they were to follow, but not their lifestyle, because they were hypocrites. And so we want to look at this in Matthew 23. So if you have your Bible, turn over there with me and let's look at this. Because above all else, we don't want to find ourselves living a lifestyle of hypocrisy. And I really believe that in the body of Christ, that this is something that's really prevalent right now. And maybe it's always been, I don't know, but I notice it. I notice, you know, people that they, you know, it talks about in here where they brought in their phylacteries, and Debbie and I were talking about what's the phylactery, and it's a little cube box that they would wear on their head or on their arm, and it was what they would have their prayers in. And so apparently they were making these things bigger because they wanted to draw more attention to themselves. And so I was thinking about that, and recently I was in the home of someone. I was doing some work for him, and it was a lady. She had this big, fat wooden cross, you know, you wear it as a necklace. And, you know, I was really astonished at that. And you know, I couldn't help thinking that, you know, whether or not that was necessary to prove to people, you know, what was the motive for wearing that, I guess is how I should say it. Because I'm not trying to judge people, but I really want to know, what was the motive? What was the real motive of a person's heart for wanting to wear this big thing? And you see it all the time. You see things that, you know, where people have these Christian bumper stickers, or they have these Christian T-shirts and everything, or they have these big Christian symbols on their body that they wear. You know, what is it? You know, is it there to try and prove that they're a Christian? Well, I think Jesus wants us to show them who we are by our love, that we would know each other by the love that we have for one another. And please don't misunderstand, I'm not trying to say that I'm perfect at this by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm just noticing this, I'm just seeing this, and I'm seeing that, you know, here we have Jesus walking on the earth for three and a half years in ministry, and the people that he came toe-to-toe with at times were the spiritual leaders of the day. And you think, of all people for Jesus to go toe-to-toe with, wouldn't it be the sinners? Wouldn't it be the drunks? Wouldn't it be the tax collectors? Because they were hated people. No. Jesus would go sit down and eat food in their house of the tax collectors and the ones that people, they loathed him. Why? Because the tax collectors would try and take more than what they should, and so they were robbing from the people, and the people hated him for it. And yet here's Jesus. Does he, you know, is he looking for the house where all the spiritual leaders are? Well, you know, sometimes he sat down and ate with a Pharisee. But you see, more times than not, it seems like Jesus is looking for the down and outers. He's looking for the people that we today as Christians seem to want to walk past them, almost like they're going to slime us or something. And that's not what Jesus did. And in addition to that, it's that attitude that causes us to want to keep walking that you can find in the hearts of the Pharisees. You know, the Pharisees were convinced that they were right. They were convinced that they were righteous, they were good, they were holy. They were convinced of it. But bless God, they would take the widow's last mite if necessary, because they were, you know, that it was about them, it was about wealth, it was about the money coming into the coffers so that they could spend it on themselves. See, that was the heart of the Pharisee. Not about loving people, not about caring and showing the love of Jesus and taking the lower seat. And so my point in saying all that is this. If you find yourself in a church, particularly a church, where you see people rushing for the higher seats, you see people drawing attention to themselves, you see people where they're not reaching out in love for other people, but they're seeming like reaching out to draw the attention to themselves, well, you better know that if that's going on there, you better know that that's the heart of a Pharisee, and recognize it. I don't say judge the person, but you can judge the actions, and you can recognize, and don't try to mimic that person. You don't want what they have. You want what Jesus has. You want the fellowship, the relationship with the Father that produces this kind of love that you have for one another. It's not something that you put on. It's something that grows and develops, and it develops through your personal fellowship with Jesus. Glory to God. So let's look at this. Chapter 23, verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." So that's talking about the position that they have. "All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do." So if they're telling you to do something that's specifically according to the law, do that. Look at this, though. But do not after their works, for they say and they do not. Don't follow their actions. Don't follow their actions. You can follow what they say to do according to the law, but don't follow their actions because they're not doing it. They're hypocrites. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. Let's stop right there. We're going to stop right there. When you do things to be seen of men, that is not coming out of the heart of God. That's not what Jesus is wanting us to do. That's not coming from a place of love. It's coming from that place where you're trying to draw the attention to yourself. You're trying to maybe grow your ministry or impress people around you. Look at these words one more time. But all their works, verse 5, they do, all their works they do, for to be seen of men, they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge their borders of their garments. That's what I was alluding to a minute ago. They're simply doing things spiritually to try and impress somebody else. They're wearing the big crosses. They've got the prayers written out in their little boxes, and they make their little boxes bigger boxes so that people can see them. When they're walking down the street, they're going to make this big old prayer, this prayer, "Dear God." And all of it is just simply trying to bring attention to themselves, not the heart of God. Heart of God is loving people, reaching out in love, ministering to other people. You see, if that's what's in your heart and that's how you spend your life, you're not going to be disappointed when you get to heaven and you stand in front of Jesus for the reward for the life that you spent. I have to wonder for those people who spend their life trying to do things to get attention, trying to do things to make big ministries or draw attention to themselves, what they're going to experience when they stand in front of Jesus and all of their works are judged by fire. Is there going to be anything left? See, that's what is important to me. When I stand there and the sum total of my life is measured by fire coming down on the altar and burning everything that's wood, hay, and stubble, everything that did not bring glory to God but brought glory to me, it's consumed with fire, it's burned, it's gone. The only thing that's left is what has been born out of love. See, I want something to be left there after the fire burns. I want there to be something there so that I have something to show Jesus for the decisions I made on this earth, for the life that I spent and I lived here. That it wasn't just all about Mark. Wasn't all about me. But it was about sharing the love of Jesus with other people. We are in a world where we are surrounded, literally surrounded at every turn by people who are on their way to an eternity in hell and in the lake of fire. An eternity. And we're surrounded at every turn by these people. Do we love them enough to try and stop them from going that way? Do we love them enough, or are we simply concerned about ourselves? Is our attention solely upon us, upon our little family, or our career, or this, or our ministry, or something else. And you see, we can put a lot of things in that place to take up that spot. We can put a lot of things there. I'm telling you, Jesus wants that place reserved for Him, for the relationship we have with Him, and for love. That love would consume us. And that everywhere we went, that we were the example of Christ in the earth, that we would show people the love of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's read on here. But all their works they do to be seen of men, verse 5, they make broad their phylacteries and large the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. I've seen this time and time again. I've even been guilty of this myself, of looking for the place of prominence, looking for the position where people would look at you in admiration. They would look at you and they would just elevate you in their minds as some spiritual person. Well, and all of that doesn't account for a hill of beans when it comes to Jesus. That's not what Jesus is after for us. And, you know, sad to say that it's taken me going through some of the most difficult experiences in my whole life to come to the realization that, boy, I think at times I had my ladder on the wrong building. You know, you're climbing the ladder to success and you get to the top and you realize it's on the wrong building. Well, I look back and I think there were times, that, you know, in the not too distant past where I was guilty of just these very things. It was in my heart. You might not have seen it from the outside, but it was there on the inside. And see, that's what really matters. It's not what you can put on for everybody else to see. That's not what matters. It's what is in your heart. What's in your heart? Why do you do what you do? Is it for selfish, self-centered reasons, or is it because of love? Is it God-centered? Are you God-centered? Are you self-centered? Well, maybe I'll title this message that. That's a good word. Let me read verse 6 again. And love the uppermost rooms at feast and the chief seats in the synagogues. And I think, I really think, when we have these, you know, we're in these church services and we have these special reserved seats. Baloney. Get rid of the special reserved seats. Throw that junk away. I mean, if there's anything that fits in what this is saying, it's that. And people are striving to get those special reserved seats and those special places in the sanctuary where everybody else knows those people are special. Baloney. You know, if there's anything that points a finger at Pharisee attitude, it's that. It's how we present ourselves when we all get together in church services. Are we the ones in the, you know, in the secluded and away from everybody else in the back office? Oh, forget that junk. Jesus wasn't there. You know, Jesus was mixing with the people. Jesus was probably down the street at the bar, ministering to the people that were in there that were the wine bibbers, and we would say, oh my gosh, how can he go to church now? Isn't it funny, the mentality that we have? It's not funny, it's sad. We won't go minister to the people that really need help. We're all shut up in these big edifices, and we're just, we're almost scared to get dirty. And Jesus spent his life trying to show us this is what he expects of us. And yet we do exactly what the Pharisees did, and we wonder why we're not getting any different results. Verse 7 again, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men rabbi, rabbi. But be not you called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all you are brethren. And we're going to jump on down to verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! And you know, when Jesus said this, he wasn't saying, woe unto you, you little scribes and Pharisees. You're hypocrites. Now, I don't think Jesus spoke like that. I think he said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. You are hypocrites. I think he was a little sharp with his words when he said this to these people. Why? It wasn't anger. It wasn't out of malice. It was really out of the motivation of love. He's trying to snap them out of the mindset that they have. He's trying to show them that what they're doing is wrong. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, I'm in verse 13, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer you them that are entreating to go in. You're not going in yourself. Why? Because you think it's all about how much you wash your hands, about how goody-two-shoe that you are. And it's none of that. What is it about? It's about the blood of Jesus Christ, who was, at that point, he was going to be offered and now has been offered. It's him. It's not about us. It's not about who we are. It's about who he is. That's the difference. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves. Well, I think that is just so telling. You don't go in yourselves. Why? Because you won't humble yourself. You're trying to be righteous without surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus. You're trying to be righteous through your actions. You're trying to earn righteousness from God. It cannot be earned. If it could, Jesus went into the cross in vain. Cannot be earned. Verse 14, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you, look at this, you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense you make long prayers. Devour widows' houses. These people weren't nice. Why did they devour the widows' houses? They were extorting money from these people. And they didn't, I mean, think about the evilness of their hearts to extort money from a widow. You know, truly in the law was, it had regulations regarding the widow who was really a widow. And if they were a widow, then Israel was supposed to take care of the widows if they were of the right age. And they fit into the criteria established by the law. But what we see here is that the Pharisees who sat in Moses' seat, they weren't applying the law correctly. They weren't taking care of the widow. They were extorting money from the widows. I mean, that's like dirty dog low to extort from the poor widows. And that's exactly what they did. How could they do it? Because they did not have the love of Christ inside of them. Their motives were wrong, wrong, wrong. And so for us today, as we look back, as we see this, we see these two examples, the example of Jesus, you know, walking through the scriptures, loving people. That is the epitome of his ministry, was here's how you love people. So you have this, and then on the other side of the spectrum, we have the Pharisees. So as we read through the Gospels, we have these two pictures. We have fellowship, relationship with the Father. We have the Son who loves us so much that he came to die for us. We have the example, the perfect example, set for us in the life of Jesus. And then in contrast to that, what do we have? We have the Pharisees. The Pharisees who were all about themselves, trying to earn their righteousness, trying to put the heavy burdens on the people, wanting to have the place of prestige in the church services or in the marketplace. They would make broad their phylacteries. They were trying to put on their spiritualities for everyone to see, so everybody could be impressed with how spiritual I am. Baloney. You know, that's not in the heart of Christ. That's not what Jesus exemplified for us. Jesus himself took the lowest seat. He was not trying to build a ministry. He wasn't trying to build an edifice of a church. You know, they would have the times when he would minister to the multitudes, and then instead of staying there like the disciples wanted and setting up his kingdom, he'd just pick up stakes and hit the road. You know, you don't do that if you're trying to build a big ministry. Once you see those great miracles, we better send out the emails and get on the radio and print up the flyers talking about the great ministry that's come to town, and we're going to build this thing. We're going to make this thing big. Jesus didn't do that. You know, he loved people. He was all about loving people. And he showed us that this is what he expects out of us. All right, let me read some more here. Definitely not extorting the widow's houses. And then verse 14, making long prayers. You know, he doesn't care about the long prayers, trying to impress anybody. Woe unto you, scribes, verse 15, and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Boy, I tell you what, you talk about harsh words. Here, Jesus is standing there talking to the spiritual uppity-ups of the day and telling them, you're proselytizing these people and you're making them twofold the child of hell than yourself. Do you hear what he said? He's telling them, basically, your father's the devil. And these are the spiritual leaders. And this is sharp words Jesus is using. But again, he wasn't saying it in a wrong way. He was saying it from a motivation of his love for these people, trying to wake them up to the truth that they are not godlike. They're not acting like God wants them to act. Let's jump down a little bit more. I want to get to the latter verses here, 23. Verse 23, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment and mercy and faith. You're all about making sure, boy, you just got that little cumin there. I want to make sure I don't want to get any more than my tithe and the mint. And I'm just going to you're just so precise and exact about all of these little things and in your tithe. But when it comes to the weightier matters, look at the weightier matters. When it comes to judgment and mercy and faith, they didn't have any mercy. they didn't have mercy. They weren't walking in faith. You know, they were all about themselves, not about others. So, they wanted to make sure that they were just given just the right amount of tithe. I got to give this right amount. And all the while, they're, hurting their brothers, doing wrong to them. That's not in the heart of God. Verse 24, you blind guides, you strain at a gnat and you swallow a camel. Boy, I tell you what, I have seen that firsthand. Someone sitting there arguing with me, trying to tell me something about, teaching something that, wasn't exactly what they had taught or what they had heard. And it was like, where's the love at? We should be loving each other, not arguing over these things like straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. Clearly, you sitting there hurting me is not furthering the kingdom of God. You're straining at this little gnat, trying to make sure that, well, I want to make sure I correct you just right. I want to, and all the while, in you doing that, you're destroying me. You have just strained at a gnat and swallowed a camel. And the end result is you have hurt your brother. And boy, I tell you what, that's not what God wants. That's not anything that gets, you want to get God's attention in the wrong way? Go around and start correcting people. Start telling people what they're, what you believe they're doing wrong. See, Jesus didn't do that. When he had these opportunities, when he would minister to the woman at the well, for example, let's just take her in John. I believe it's John chapter 4, woman at the well. She had been married, multiple times, and the person she was living with was not her husband. God didn't sit there, or Jesus didn't sit there and just lambast her, He loved her. And, we're so judgmental. We're so hard on each other. Particularly members of the body of Christ, not even talking about the people that are outside the kingdom of God, but the people that are on the inside. Man, I've heard it said before that we're the only army that shoots its wounded, and I'm telling you what, we shoot them right in the back. And we shouldn't. I mean, that should be the furthest thing from our mind. But it's not. And why isn't it? Because we're all looking out for number one, ourselves. Instead of letting, in our surrender to God, we need to let Him look out for us. And instead of trying to, correct the, let me say that differently. Instead of trying to clean the slate, in other words, instead of trying to even the score, that's what I was trying to say. Even the score. Instead of trying to do all of that, just love people. Let God take care of that other stuff and don't worry about it and just keep going. Just keep going. The blind guides strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes, verse 25, and Pharisees, hypocrites. Think about all the times that Jesus has said they're hypocrites. Here, these spiritual leaders of the day, time and time again, we've seen here where he's looked at them. I mean, can you imagine what's in their heart and in their mind? They looked at him. Who do you think you are? Well, let's see. He's Jesus. He's God manifested in the flesh, And he is reading your mail right now. But you just can envision the steam coming out of the ears of those Pharisees when he would stand there and speak to them. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within you're full of extortion and excess. You know, God doesn't like that. God doesn't like us presenting ourselves in a way, trying to impress each other with our spirituality when all the time in our hearts are not pure, our hearts have wrong motives. Now, that does not bring glory to God. That's not what God is wanting of us. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You're like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Man, that's strong right there. That is so strong. How would you like Jesus standing in front of you, telling you that you are like a whited sepulcher? That's where they buried the bodies whenever you died. You know, on the outside, you look all nice and, but on the inside was dead men's bones. Man, I wouldn't want Jesus walking up to me saying that. So how do you not find yourself in the category of the Pharisees? It's by living a life that we see exemplified in the Gospels, the life of Jesus, a life that's motivated by love and love alone. Love for each other, love for God, love for our fellow man, loving one another. I know it seems like a cliche almost, but it's so true. If we will just love each other, we are going to show the world what God is truly like, because God is love. And we're not talking about love that has selfish ambitions, love that only loves whenever it can repay something to us, when it benefits us. I'll love you, I'll do good for you as long as there's a payoff coming my way. As long as my doing this for you is going to cause something good to happen in my life from you, basically. You see, we need to have a motive that's pure, not a motive that is self-seeking. We're not to be self-seeking. We're not to try and gain something for ourselves by doing something for somebody else. No, we just want to do, we want to pray for people because, not because we want to build a ministry, not because we want to draw attention to ourselves, but because we love that person, and that person is hurting and it's in pain and they need help. And we don't care about ourselves. We don't care about how we look to the world. You see, you can see right here that this is not the way a Pharisee thinks. That's why we don't see more things happening, because we think too much like the Pharisees. We think about, well, what do other people, what will they think about me if I ask them to pray, if I lay hands on them and pray? What will they think about me? Hey, when they get healed, they're going to be happy. They're going to think good thoughts about you. So, you know, these are the things that we want to consider, we want to think about. We want to check our own motives. We want to check, why am I doing these things? Why am I trying to impress people? Why am I trying to do these things in the church? Is it for myself? Or are my motives really pure? See, couple of verses that I didn't really get a chance to get to very much. I do want to look at them. One is in John 8. Now, in John 8, Jesus has been speaking to the Pharisees, but right here in John 8, 44, it's not clear that he's really speaking directly to the Pharisees. It's kind of, you know, you can't really see that with definity. In 44, he says, "You are of your father, the devil." Now, we've seen before, as we looked in Matthew 23, that he called them a brood of vipers. So I think we can feel pretty safe that he's directing his words here to the Pharisees. "You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." We don't want our life in any way, shape, or form to look like that. Not at all. We don't want to resemble anything from the kingdom of darkness. So how do we keep from doing that? How do we keep our motives right? Well, I really believe, and I say this realizing that I need improvement in this area myself. But I really believe it's through our personal one-on-one fellowship with Jesus that in and of itself is going to draw us into a walk with the Lord where our motives are right. And even at times where they might get a little bit muddy, Holy Ghost is going to bring it to our attention. The Holy Ghost is going to show us what's in our heart, why we're doing what we're doing, if we're sensitive to Him, if we have a communion with Him. And I'm telling you, that's something I've got to do better on myself. It's not about, you know, how many hours have I sat and prayed in tongues. If I haven't talked to Jesus personally, one-on-one, a personal relationship with Him, I'm missing it. All the hours of praying in tongues, it's not that that's wrong, but it is not a substitute for me talking to Jesus and Him talking back to me, for the two of us having a dialogue with each other. There's no substitute for that. And it's from that you're going to see, I'm convinced, the other things in your life change and have the right motives for doing what you're doing. I believe that. I'd like to pray for you this evening regarding this topic that I know it's not one of those things that people want to hear, oh, that they're like a Pharisee or they have an attitude of a Pharisee. And don't be offended by it. I'm not pointing fingers or saying anything about people. It's just I believe the Holy Ghost wants us to have the right motives in our heart for why we do the things that we do. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, God, for showing us through the Gospels the life of Jesus, the attitudes that we're supposed to have, the love that's supposed to motivate us to do the things that are pleasing in your sight. Father, I pray that each one of us will be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Ghost, sensitive to the gentle nudges that we receive from Him, telling us when our motives are not right. Pray that we'll be sensitive to hear, sensitive to those indicators from the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we thank you, Father. Amen.
Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.